Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Rahalastapa. This week, the marvellous Richard Osman. Don't forget, you can become a monthly badger. GoFasterStripe.com/badges. Get all kinds of extras, including lots of cool stuff we've been putting up, including the full frame of Me 1 vs. Me 2 snooker, the recipe for that very special thing I made for James Acaster the other week, an extra interview with James, me interviewing myself, the director's commentary of Brian Blessed, lots of stuff. GoFasterStripe.com/badges. Let me out of the docks. Shut up, Ali. I'm trying to do a serious intro. Let me out of the docks. I'm not going to let you out of the box. Please let me out of the docks. All right, I'll get you out of the box if it will shut you up. Come on, out you come. Hello, everyone. It's me, Ali, from Arthur Lee and... Ali and Herrings. Sorry, I forgot what it was called for a second there. That's all right. Ali and Herrings, fist of... Sorry, not fist. I forgot what it was called for a second there. That's right. Ali and Herrings, Twitch of fun. Yes, that's right, the Twitch of fun. There's a new podcast out. Yes, with me in it, starring me, Ali, the terrifying Dentilocus Donny that once was used to masturbate Richard Herring's tiny little penis. It's not tiny. Well, it was tiny when you were little. I wasn't that little. I was still a grown man. Yes, I know. I'm saying you have a tiny penis. I don't think that's an appropriate thing for the intro to Rahalastapa. Well, you can't stop me saying what the truth, Richard. I will tell the people the truth. Yes, look, I'm for some reason I've ended up doing a Twitch stream because I'm brilliant. That's why. With my 128-year-old ventriloquist dummy who was once used in a mild sexual assault against me. Yes, I was. I wasn't happy with it either, Richard. I know. And it's not nothing. It's not your fault. That's why we can still work together. You're as much the victim here as me. I know. It's called Ali and Herrings. I'm still the second one in the billing. Twitch of fun. You can watch it live every Thursday, 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/RKHerring, as you can watch Rahalastapa's lives on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. and you can watch snooker on Monday and Tuesday and stone clearing every now and again, and we're trying to put some other stuff together as well. And it's also a podcast, Ali and Herring's Twitch of Fun. If you could look that up on iTunes and subscribe, that would be lovely. It'd be lovely to get 128-year-old ventriloquist dummy to the top of the iTunes charts. Or even just in the charts. It's a bit harder to get in them these days. That'll show that fucking Captain Tom Wanker, wouldn't it? Yeah, and Vera Lynn Fuckert. Oh, no, she just died recently, did she? Oh, sorry. That was in her throat. They both did very well in the charts, but he's 128, so he'd be... I apologise to fans of Vera Lynn for what Ali said. I'm not in control of what he says. You can't say anything these days, can you, Richard? You can say whatever you want, and you seem to say whatever you want. Well, and it's not my fault if he says stuff. It's him saying it, not me. Well, you say that, Richard, that I think it is your fault. It isn't my fault. It's your fault for having me on. I suppose it is. Anyway, let's not do a whole bloody episode of this thing. You can watch more of this if you want to. If you're just listening on audio, it's an audio podcast, which I think is the best way to enjoy ventriloquism anyway. Agreed? Then you can't see you on that thing, which you can't anyway, because it's you talking. Yes, I know. I shaved today, which that takes off some of the cover I had. Exactly, Richard. You've got to be careful. So, all right, please enjoy. Go to gofaststrike.com/badges, twitch.tv/arcadeherring. Those are the places to go. You can, of course, subscribe to Twitch TV, especially if with Amazon Prime, for free. So you can do it for free if you're with Amazon Prime. Check out the video on YouTube, Herring 1967. Look, let's go. We've done enough. Thanks very much for watching this. I hope you enjoy, or listening, I hope you enjoy Rahel Estepa with the wonderful Richard Osman. Hello, welcome to my attic. Please welcome a man who's just seen a bunny rabbit. I was out with my dog. It's Richard Herring. Hello. And welcome to another remote and live episode of Richard Herring's Languorous, Sluggish, Torpor podcast. I've got to that point with the lockdown where I can't get anything done. I had a nap this afternoon. It was beautiful. Though I was hanging around with the creators of Scrabble Go, the new Scrabble app. Because I think what Scrabble really needed was loads of jewels and cartoons and potential dating opportunities in it. That it was just wasn't good enough on its own. So I'm glad they've ruined it by changing the app. Anyway, they call it Rahel Estepa, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. I am going a bit nuts. I'm drinking. I thought I was going to stop drinking and get healthy because I was worried about dying of the coronavirus and being overweight. But I'm just eating crisps and drinking every night. Cheers. I've got gin and tonic tonight. Not that much left. What's been going on? My dog did a massive shit in the kitchen yesterday morning. I came down to it. It was like a huge... Someone had spilled a massive tub of ice cream onto the floor, of chocolate ice cream, and most of it had melted around the edges, but the middle bit was still ice cream. That's what it looked like. It was horrible. I had a dry retch as I tried to clear it up before the kids came down. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. But it was just wonderful to have some variety in my day. So I quite appreciate it. Because what no one is really looking out for and no one's caring about is the bloggers in this situation, right? I blog in every single day and there's nothing to blog about. You should be standing outside 8 o'clock every night applauding me. Plus, blogging hasn't been cool since 2005 and I'm still going. So where's my applause? That's what I want to know. I've been coming up with stupid songs. It's a good job I've not got a live podcast or anything because the standard of my comedy material has gone right down. I've come up with a new TV show called Bumming for Gold, which it's like Going for Gold. It's the same format. People from all over Europe coming together. Henry Kelly is still the host of it, but they all have to bum each other, and the best one at bumming is the winner. And it's solely because I was singing the theme tune like this. The heat is on. The time is right. It's time for you to play your game. People are coming. Everyone's bumming. It's better trying to bum the best that they can when they're bumming for gold. So that's what I've come up with. It should be called Going for Bronze, really. But there we go. That's the best I could do. And I've got angry with Rodgers and Hammerstein, the writers. For some reason, it's boring in lockdown. I feel that Doe a Deer, a Female Deer, is a very poor lyric. I don't know which one's which. If I was Rodgers or Hammerstein, Hammerstein and Rodgers had come in one day and said, I've written the lyrics to a new song, and I'd seen the shit he came up with, I'd have been like, Jesus, mate, your only job is to write words, which is a million times easier than coming up with a tune that people will like. This reads like you tossed it off on the bus over here. Could you not? It's like Doe a Deer, a Female Deer, Ray, a Drop of Golden Sun, that's okay. Me, a name that I call myself, pathetic. Far a long, long way to run. So, a needle pulley fed. La, a note to follow. So, couldn't you come up with something better for La? Like La, short for Los Angeles. Or La, the feminine in article in French. Or La, how scousers refer to their mates. And tea isn't a drink with jam and bread. I'll give you some examples that you don't have bread with tea. It could have been better. Tea, the junction up ahead. Tea, a letter close to Z. Tea, in China, it's widespread. like the coronavirus. Tea, what I'd call dinner if I wasn't properly bred. There's loads of stuff you could have done, mate. So I came up with a satirical version of this song to take the piss out of Rodgers or Hammerstein, whichever one wrote the tune. Do, a note to follow. T, Ray, a note to follow. Do, me, a note to follow. Ray, far, a note to follow. Me, so, a note to follow. Far, la, short for Los Angeles. T, a note to follow. Do, which will bring us back to do. So that's a better version of it. That's the kind of thing I've been doing. I've literally gone mad. So anyway, I hope you're enjoying these live podcasts. I'm really just trying to bump up the viewers before we bring on our guests. It's up to 650 people. That's very good. I hope you listened to and watched the rehearsal that came out today with Michael Palin. I mean, absolutely fantastic. What a tough act to follow. I would hate to be the guest that has to come on to this one tonight and follow Michael Palin. Next week, we'll be doing another one of these. I haven't got a guest for it yet. You can, on Twitch, I'm doing all sorts of things. Snooker Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, sometimes Friday at 7:30. Stone clearing most mornings, about 8 a.m., depending what time I get on. Up. And Sunday, I am doing film commentaries to films that I have nothing to do with. I've done Sliding Doors. I've done Total Recall. This Sunday, if all goes to plan, I will be doing The Cobbler, Adam Sandler's brilliant and best film. So do tune in and come and see those. And do listen to all the podcasts. Do become a monthly badger. GoFasterStripe.com/badges. And if you are an Amazon Prime member, you get a free £5 every month to give to someone on Twitch. You could give it to me. Go to my YouTube channel, Herring1967, to find out how, if you find it confusing. Anyway, let's get on with the show. My guest tonight is probably best known for being a regular contributor to Turn It Up on BBC Radio Sussex. That was when he was about 15 or 16 years old. What's he been up to since then? He was flashed in a pan. We never saw him again. Will you please welcome Richard Osman, ladies and gentlemen? There he is. It's Richard Osman. Hooray.
Hello there.
How you doing?
What a lovely round of applause. Thank you.
It was great. Yeah, it's good.
Makes you feel very special.
Cheers.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Where did you get that gin glass from? What do you call it? A schooner, maybe?
It was actually a Christmas present, I think. So I don't know where it came from. My mum and dad got it from. It's nice, isn't it? Would you like it?
It's really nice. Listen, I'm fine. I don't need it.
I've got one for you. Look.
Good on your mum and dad. Oh, thank you. Let me just... Wouldn't it be good if I had one here? Just take it from you. God, imagine if we'd rehearsed.
Well, you don't rehearse.
Imagine what you could do if you have production value.
I know, it's incredible. Richard's on his iPad because he hasn't got a computer. You've not got a laptop that could do this at home.
I don't use a laptop.
What?
I don't know what I would use it for. I write, and I write on my iMac, which is, you know, like, I've had for years.
Yeah.
And other than that, I carry my iPad around with me, because what do you do on your laptop that you can't do on an iPad? Is that of interest?
True, it's true. I don't really do, but the iPad, I can play Adam's Family Pinball on my iPad, which I can't really do very well on my computer, so it is better.
Rest my case.
Fair enough. Do you remember being in Turn It Up on BBC Radio Sussex?
I do, yeah. That's where I started out. I was only like 15, yeah. And the year before me, Jo Wiley was on it,
yeah.
When she was 15, 16. Clive Myrie, he was on it, you know, from the news.
Yeah.
So there was a few people who came through there. Simon Mayo's brother, he was on it.
Jane Hill
they
was
were
on
all
it.
There.
Jane Hill was on the turn.
Jane Hill.
She was my best one. What was it? Was it just music, was it yeah. about music or something? Was it about what was it? What was the?
Yeah, it was very cool actually.
Yeah,
I got to interview Popoli itself, and Stone Roses came on, and it was really good. It was very very. It was just cool, young people's music. I don't think anyone listened to it, but we enjoyed making it. I interviewed the Beastie Boys.
Wow. How did you get that job? How did you get that job at the age of 15?
It was all volunteers. You could just turn up and do it.
Right.
And, you know, you did a few gig guides and you did a few bits and bobs, and then eventually they let you present it.
Wow.
If you had an iota of charisma. and back then I did. For it was beaten out of me.
And then that was the last time you were...
TV quizzes.
Did you not appear on TV until Pointless? Or was there anything in between Turn It Up and Pointless?
Not a single thing.
No.
So I had a little 25-year break. You know? To make a bit of money. And then I went back to the fun.
Yeah, well, all that experience on BBC Radio Sussex, you know, that stood you in good stead. You didn't need to do any more. So you are self-isolating on your own.
Yeah.
You've been on your own for 7 weeks or 8 weeks in that.
It's more than that,
isn't it? It's a house or a flat. 2 months.
It feels like more.
does feel like more. It feels, I mean, things from before. I was just thinking.
It's more, isn't it?
It's what?
I think it is more.
Is it more? It was about the, well, yeah, ninth. No, it was only about 2 months. It was about the, I did the Michael Palin rehearsal on the ninth, I think.
Oh, stop going on about Michael Palin.
He was so good,
we've heard enough now.
He was so good.
Hey, doesn't mean you were in Monty Python. You know that, don't you?
There's a chance they
you talk to someone cool.
They might draft me in.
I interview the Beastie Boys, mate. It doesn't mean I'm in the Beastie Boys. You know? Although, briefly, I was in the late 90s.
That's what happens. If you do an interview with someone, I've been on Pointless. That's probably because I interviewed you. I was thinking, because we recorded another Pointless Celebrities with me in it, and it feels like 100 years ago, but it was some point this year, I think, wasn't it? Was it early this year?
Was it really? Oh, I would be lying if I told you I had any sense of time when it comes to Pointless.
It feels like I was trying to work out who was. I remember I was on with Les Dennis. Me and Les Dennis were a team. That's all I remember. I couldn't remember who else was even on it. And I can tell you every
point. Pointless is that you know the double helix, the thing that has no end, has no beginning, and has no end.
Yeah,
that's like the Pointless. So I never really know where I am. And then they repeat some, and then I'm recording new ones, and then there's new ones on telly, and so it's like a miasma.
Yeah,
if that's the word I'm looking for.
I think it was February. I think it was January or February we recorded it. It feels like a lifetime ago, and my brain has been wiped. I can't remember anything about it, so I don't know if we. It was my fourth time. I don't know if we won.
To be fair, it was probably wiped beforehand. I don't know if you won.
To come on four times, right? And not win would be embarrassing. Just the law of averages said you win just by chance, one in four times.
Especially as you won House of Games.
I've won two House of Games. So champions. Who do you think would win a champion of champions of champions if there was that? If that came up, who would you have your money on?
I think probably Steve Pemberton.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
My guess. It's so interesting because after Steve Pemberton came on the show, for 3 weeks I was in League of Gentlemen.
Right.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. I didn't realise that's how it worked, but it is. Can you do the dead parrot sketch for us?
I tried to do it.
That's my favourite of yours.
I tried to do it with Michael Palin, but he wouldn't play ball.
Did you?
I don't know if I could remember.
I used to
know it all off by me. He was very. What I liked about Michael Palin, my favourite thing about Michael Palin, Richard, let's talk about Michael Palin a bit more.
Jesus, here we
was
go.
That a lot of people.
You got mentionitis.
A lot of people, comedians especially, don't like to go back over their old stuff and talk about the famous sketches and stuff. Michael loved it. I was talking about the bit where he goes, you know, crucifixion, one cross each, but on nine on the left. And he was going, oh, I love that. And he went and just started doing it. It was brilliant. It was just it was crazy. But most
people fascinating. How do you think you would be if anyone ever asked you to go over one of your old sketches?
Well, I probably wouldn't be able to.
What would that be like? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Will you let us know if it ever happens?
I will let you know. If I'm an old man, someone says, "Can you remember
by some
the
whippersnapper?"
I can't remember. I see old Fist of Fun sketches, and I don't remember them at all. So it's I can watch, but my memory's going really, to be honest, away.
Hey. Rich, you and me both, my friend. Yeah. I don't remember any of them.
I knew you'd just come on and be rude. Why did I ever do this? So, how are you finding lockdown alone? Do you have the coronavirus, right?
Yeah, well, I think I had. I had something very early on. And I never get anything. I never get ill. So I had something for like 10 days. But it wasn't, I didn't have the all the symptoms people are talking about. I had a few symptoms. So I think it was. And it was right at the beginning of lockdown. In fact, I'd locked myself down a week before. I think it was. If it was, I'll be glad. And I'm sure when TV starts again, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit, I'm sure I'll get tested. But I think I had it, but I'm still incredibly careful, obviously.
Yeah.
Like all of us are.
And how is it being...
I like to stay alert.
Good. You should stay alert. It's very important.
Thanks. Ooh. See?
I wasn't ready. That caught you by surprise. I wasn't ready.
You weren't ready for that at all.
If you'd stayed alert, you wouldn't have got it in the first... I haven't had it yet, so I'm very alert. You've got caught you.
Well, you've probably got it now.
Something so small, taking down someone so big, it must be. The irony of that.
Oh, can you imagine? As I was lying there, very ill, I was thinking, the irony, I was thinking.
See, I'm quite little, so they probably won't bother with me.
Symptoms there for that.
That's the good thing about being small.
Oh, yeah, they went well with you.
Yeah, they're just going to go for the big guys, take them down, let them learn.
They might do. Now you've met Michael Palin, you might be more of a target. They might be going, yeah, he's met Michael Palin, apparently. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe it either.
So how do you feel? I'm with people in my house and I've gone mad. So are you coping with the solitude? And have you seen anyone? You've been out to the shops and stuff, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, and it's my best mate is isolating with her mum, and we talk like 30 times a day on FaceTime, so that's nice. I talk to the kids every day. Honestly, I really like it. I like being by myself. I can go out and, I talk to people whenever I want to talk to people. That's nice. I'm writing at the moment, and that sort of that keeps me busy. Every night, me and my mate watch telly remotely. We did. This is how long we've been in lockdown. We started with Tiger King, which is 9 episodes.
Right.
We got all the way through Ozark, which is 30 episodes. Yeah. And now we're nearly finished Unorthodox. So we're working our way through the Netflix greatest hits. But one episode a night.
Yeah, all tellies remotely, isn't it, when you think about it. So,
How do you mean?
Well, you watch telly. You said we've been watching telly remotely, but you watch all telly remotely, don't you, really? Unless you're in a telly show, in which case you're in it.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to, with me, that is half and half.
It's true.
Most of the time, I am in it.
Because I was, I'm trying to write, but I'm finding it. The problem with me, I have two young children to look after as well. And it's very, very exhausting, and I'm not getting anything done. I'm meant to finish a book by the end of this month, which I might do, but I don't think I will.
What's the book about?
It's about International Men's Day.
Oh, when is that?
I don't know. I've stopped doing it now, so I can't remember. I've forgotten everything. I don't know if they'll have one this year because of the coronavirus, probably. That's be typical. They had International Women's Day.
When's International Coronavirus Day?
That's a good question. There's a lot of days. I've been looking up. But
your wife is a writer as well.
She is.
And does she have a deadline too?
She doesn't. Luckily for me, she's got a book in, but she hasn't had the notes back, so she can't do any work on her book. But she has others. We're both trying to work. And what's amazing is you realise how much help you have from other people, even just if it's school and your in-laws. That actually have to do absolutely all of it is just horrendous.
The key thing about school is we've kidded ourselves over the years that culturally it's this incredibly important thing, and it prepares our and actually you just think, oh, the only reason I send them there is so they're not in my house. It's literally the only reason. I feel that my kids, if I was homeschooling, I'd be teaching degree level Chinese because that's what my daughter's doing. Right. So I'm very glad. that wouldn't go well. I don't think. No, but anyone with kids, I mean, that's hard.
Yeah, it's been wonderful in lots of ways. And I'm lucky to live in the countryside, and that's so we can get out, and I just walked the dog up the hill and looked at the beautiful village and the bunny rabbits jumping around. And
the dog isn't one of your kids,
isn't, no, that's fine. But I do have to look after the dog as well, and then it shits on the floor out of gratitude for all I'm doing for it. But I don't. How are you coping with the loneliness in terms of having contact with other human beings? No, physical contact of a loving.
Yeah, well,
kind?
I mean, that's. Yeah, I know what you mean. But listen, I probably had more than you during lockdown.
Through the letterbox.
Yeah, exactly. 6 feet apart. That's hard, isn't it? But emotional contact is. It turns out. I didn't realize this for 49 years. Emotional contact is more important.
Is it? Okay.
So that's a lesson.
I still haven't
learned. Lesson learned. I'm in contact with people all day, every day, and everyone's chatting away and making each other laugh and all of this. So, and I'm really an introvert. I mean, I really am.
Yeah.
Any excuse to not go out is perfect for me, and this is a hell of an excuse to not go out. Like I said, at the start of the year, because my first book is out in September, and they make you write the second one even before the first one comes out.
Yeah.
So I'd said, I'm taking 6 months off. 6 months, all I'm going to do is sit at home and write. And I had no idea how true that was. I didn't realize that occasionally I'd go to Marks and Spencer's wearing a face mask. I hadn't added that, but that is that's the other big one.
So have you missed any telly yet? Have you missed any recording of TV shows at the moment, or is it all to come the stuff? I know there's another House of Games.
We just started a run of another 100 House of Games.
Right.
We just started that. We got 2 days into it. And we could have done a bit. It was before lockdown, but we all said you could tell lockdown was coming.
Yeah.
And so we decided to shut up. That's the only thing I've missed, really. And we'll knock those off. Here's the thing, is we don't have an audience on that show.
Yeah.
So that's good. Six cameras. And you know, a TV studio, they're at least 6 feet apart. The contestants are quite close to each other, but shoulder to shoulder. So other than, you know, makeup and hair and all that kind of stuff, it should be okay, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll all get tested. It's going to be so easy to book guests because you know if you're coming on House of Games, you're going to get like a free coronavirus test like twice a day. I was going to say for a week, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yes, yeah, so do you think TV is going to bounce back from this, or is it going to change TV, or is it going to be? Are we going to have?
It's going to take a really. It's going to take a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, like a really long time. So certainly, you know, something like House of Games is about as low maintenance you can get in terms of getting close to people, and even that, it seems impossible at the moment. In a few months' time, it might be more possible. But drama, of course, is in huge trouble. Yeah. Sitcom is in huge trouble. Yeah. Anything with a big audience is in huge trouble. You know, none of this stuff is getting back to normal anytime soon. So they said this week, look, you can now start exploring. We can now open up the TV and film industry. And I think people have taken that to mean you're going to start making telly. And it's not. I think it's them saying you can now start looking at how you might go about doing that and putting best practice into place. And that's going to take a really, really long time. So quizzes, you might be okay. But man, oh man, there's not going to be many big new drama series, Netflix series for a long time, unless they're those sort of lockdown things that people do.
And have you started coming up with formats that will work in remotely?
No. You know, honestly, my whole lockdown has been people trying to get me to go on telly or radio and talk about quizzes and talk about this or come up with new stuff. And I do just think, if I'm going to be in lockdown, I'd be in lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to have a halfway house. I'm a little bit out of lockdown.
Yeah.
My brain can deal with it if I'm in lockdown. I can absolutely deal with it.
Second,
I'm having to be on Radio 5 or talking to Richard Herring.
What about a quiz show called Lockdown where they lock everyone down in a house for 8 weeks without anyone being able to see them and then ask them some questions?
So clever. The only thing, I've saw one show during lockdown.
Yeah.
Which is because Endemol is a big European company. And I've sold a show called Bumming for Girls, which I'm really, really excited about. Yeah. That's really good. And I sold it in 30 territories. We made a lot of money out of it.
That's very good.
So, yeah, really pleased about that. One of those ones you think, why didn't I think of that? You wait till you hear the theme music.
Yeah, the rights to get that tune, though, are going to be... That's Hans Zimmer or something, isn't he, who wrote that?
Hans saw the format. He said, I have a new format, yeah. Bumming for Gold. I don't know if you know, I did the theme music for the old one. I said, didn't know that, Hans. And he went, yeah, I did. He said, ordinarily it might cost you $300,000, but you have it for free. Because I love the show. I love Bumming for Gold. So Hans is like, he's still alive, Hans, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he must be.
I think so. Well, if you talk to him, presumably he is. No, no one would pretend. Mm. I think he is. I think we mentioned him in the Tim Minchin episode. I think he worked with Tim Minchin on something. I may be wrong.
Oh, Jesus, Tim Minchin mentioned.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm not sure it was Hans Zimmer because I think Hans Zimmer is Swiss and the guy I was talking to clearly has some sort of weird Dutch accent.
Yeah. And is Henry Kelly on board? Well, is Henry Kelly on board to present? Is he still alive?
Henry's been on Point of Celebrities a few times.
Yeah.
And he's the thing people don't know about Henry Kelly is an incredibly respected and smart journalist in Ireland, like a proper heavyweight journalist and was for years and years and years. Then suddenly he was on Game for a Laugh and Going for Gold, which, you know, I mean, good on him for monetizing his journalistic integrity.
What a lot of people don't know about Henry Kelly is he opened Shipham Strawberry Fair in about 1981. And during that, I had a little fumble behind the stall with Sandra Hellier. A lot of people don't know that. About
Sandra Hellier?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's a girl at my school.
Wow. And where is she now?
She's still in Cheddar, actually. I saw her. I probably shouldn't have mentioned her by name, but there we go. It's live. I saw her last time I went back. About 5 years ago, I went back to Cheddar and to do something, and she was just in the village hall.
Oh, to Cheddar, sorry.
Yeah. And she was there, and we gave each other a little look. We remembered each other.
Was she married?
I don't know. I didn't talk to her because I was embarrassed about the things we'd done.
Wow!
It wasn't anything. It was very innocent. To be fair, it was very unusual at that stage for a girl to be interested in me. And we did. We even kissed, to be honest. I think we just fumbled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But Sandra Hellier.
We wrestled.
She's married now. Hold on, I'm just googling her. She is married.
Yeah.
Okay. So who's she married to? Married to a mixed martial artist.
Wow. Oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. One of those guys who fights in octagons.
Wow. Well, she was a lovely girl. I hope we gave each other a smile, and I think it was all good. I don't think I spoke to her. At another occasion in Cheddar, the girl I used to really fancy, Bridget Seeley, she came up to me. Yeah. But I haven't seen her for 25 years or something like that, you know. And she was now a woman of 50, as I was a man of 50. And she looked very good, but I didn't immediately recognise her. But that's the problem. Do you get that when you go back to places that people expect you to recognise them and you don't recognise them, or do you recognise everyone?
Well, my school was a big comprehensive school, 1,500 kids in it.
Right.
So I sort of went to school with everyone.
Yeah.
Who's from where I'm from. So even when you're at school, you didn't really recognise each other.
Right.
So the people I was mates with, I still recognise.
Yeah.
I chat away with them on Zoom. But whenever I'm back down in Sussex and I walk past people roughly my age, I sort of think, I bet I went to school with you.
But it's weird because they've seen you in the interim, and you, so they've at least know how much. I just find that, so when you're in your 50s, it's just like you'll see someone and you haven't seen them for 20, 30 years, and you still remember them being. I think I was just last night, I was just thinking about the girls I shared university accommodation with, and I have seen one of them again since, but I haven't seen one of them for about 20 or 30 years. And I was just thinking, God, she's not, you know, she's going to be a 52-year-old woman now. And in my mind, she's still 21. So I can't even picture.
One of my best friends from university, I said, we have dinner like sort of once a month or something and have a gossip. And she's an incredibly senior high court judge at the Old Bailey, right? And let me tell you now, when I was at university with her, she was not an incredibly senior high court judge. I'm going to say far from it. But now she is, you see, and it's so weird to think she hasn't changed at all in any respect whatsoever, other than got older and had kids.
Yeah.
But you just think, how are you one of the most senior judges in the country when you used to do X, Y, and Z? Which I won't mention because she is a judge.
Yeah. Bank robberies and stuff, murders.
Oh my God, she was terrible for the bank robberies. Loved it. But it's university, isn't it? We used to back in those days because we didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
So we'd go and rob banks, building societies.
It's weird. I mean, do you find as time goes by that time concertinas in that way that to me, a lot of that stuff from the late 1980s, it was for me, was at university, just seems so fresh. And if I can't quite get my head around the idea that the idea of 30 years passing doesn't seem possible because I'm still 23. So that's,
completely, that's the problem. My daughter's at uni now, and she lives her story. She just said, it's exactly the same as me. Oh, yeah, same as me. Not really. But you do. And I had a big Zoom chat with those people I went to school with the other day, so I've known them since I was 10. And then you're like kind of 11, 12-year-olds again.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's great, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely.
It is nice.
Lots of people in telly, when you go around to the house, they've got friends around. They're never friends from school. They're always friends from other television shows. Which is weird, right? And they go, oh, no, they're my mates.
Yeah.
And you think, I don't think you went to school with them, really, did you?
I do find that odd. But I think that's quite interesting. A lot of people, I don't know, aspire to becoming famous so they can get into those famous circles and then do leave everyone behind. But I think you kind of sort of see people being friends with, you know, people of my age who are friends with Elton John or go to all of Elton John's parties. And you kind of think, that's kind of, why are you friends with Elton John? And why would you want to be friends
also, with Elton John? Elton John suddenly become friends with you? I mean, that's weird.
It is.
Do you think Elton John, were you just walking down the street one day, you dropped the groceries, and Elton goes, oh, let me pick that up for you. That's a nice jacket. Where's that from? Goes, oh, I go there. And suddenly you go for a drink.
Yeah.
I always think that when people suddenly start getting invited to these parties, the second anyone becomes famous, there's a group of parties they get invited to. And you must think, hold on a minute. why is it just me and Malala at this party? So that's a bit odd. But it's just, listen, that's the way of certain... stratum of society goes.
That's not happened to you then, so you haven't become friends with... I mean, you mixed with a lot of celebrities on Pointless Celebrities, for example.
Oh, yeah, but, not afterwards. Straight in the limo, straight in the stretch, and off I go. Look, I mean, over the years, I've worked with certainly as a producer, you work with loads of people. There's a few famous people that you could sort of go, no, that person's genuinely become my friend.
Yeah.
More writers, really, than on... camera people, but there's a few, but not a huge amount. Although I like lots of people I work with.
Yeah,
but come on, you've got enough friends at some point, don't you?
Well, I don't, mate. I've sort of shed friends, and I'm finding lockdown quite easy because I don't really go out anymore. My wife sometimes goes out. I'm very happy staying at home with my wife and my kids, and I don't really go apart from going out to work, which I wasn't doing that much. I don't really go out anymore. And I don't want any new friends. But the problem, we've moved to a village, so you've got to make friends. My wife's made friends, which means I've made some friends in the village. They're very nice.
Oh, okay.
But, I'd rather not have made any new friends. We play... We're playing, like, games. It's really good, actually. We play... On Saturday nights, we play board games and stuff and poker and things online now we've got the lockdown. So it is quite nice having new friends, but it's sort of...
That's fun.
Yeah, but it's I'm quite happy to shed as many people as possible and get it down to a.
Well, listen, I suspect they're pretty happy too. That's my guess.
I think so.
Also, you've got to shed a few, so you've got to make room for Palin, right?
He has.
He's zooming Palin after
this.
He did
agree to be my dad. I said, would he take over to be my new dad? My dad's still alive. It's a bit rude to my dad, but
yeah.
And I offered my mum up as part of the bargain.
Listen. You've got to have a succession strategy.
Yeah,
that's the key.
Yeah,
you really do. And so that sounds. Is he the same age as your dad?
More. I mean, my dad's a little bit older, but my mum's a little bit older than him. But my mum looks good. She looks a bit like Bobby Robson, the ex-England manager. But she's a good-looking 83-year-old. She's grown into that. She probably.
Some women do, right?
Yeah.
And, some women, it's when they hit 80, you suddenly go, "Hold on a minute, have you been hiding?"
So I think for Palin, she would be a prize. I think. And she's a very nice lady. I'm not my dad's a nice person as well, but if it came down to it, if someone said, we've got a gun at the head of Michael Palin and a gun ahead of TK Herring, I would have to say kill TK Herring. I think my dad would accept
that. Absolutely certain about that. That's a big statement to make.
I think
you
because...
Sure you want to push the button on that?
I mean, A, I like Michael Palin more than my dad. That's the main thing. And B... just for the good of the country. I think my dad has done a lot of good for Cheddar and the surrounding area, but I think more people would be upset by the death of Michael Palin.
Have you ever read Strangers on a Train?
No.
Right, one of the greatest crime books of all time, Patricia Highsmith. But the plot you'll be aware of is two gentlemen get into a conversation on a train and very casually both mention a murder they would like to happen.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they swap murders and this, that, or the other. But essentially, somebody listening at home will probably think you've just done that.
Well, no, that wasn't...
There was a gun at the head of... Well...
That wasn't what I said. I'm saying if someone got me in that situation and said you have to choose, it's like Sophie's Choice. I'd say, can we not kill either of them? They go, no, we'll kill one of them or both of them. It's up to you. My dad's a little bit older. Michael Palin has a lot to give still, I think. I think my dad's had a good life. You feel that, it's an odd thing to say. My daughter doesn't love me, so I think she would do the same as well. My daughter's always telling me she hates me. She's only five. It's not fair.
I thought they'd like me for a bit.
But she's always, I think she's mainly joking, but it goes on enough for me to think if my daughter was in the situation, if they had Richard Osman or your dad, I think she would let you live. So I've accepted it.
Well, there's the other murder.
Yeah.
So we now have our Strangers on a Train. Our plot is complete.
Good. There's an Oedipal thing to it, isn't there? So, it's good to... It's good. Isn't Oedipus about someone killing their dad so their mum can marry Michael Palin?
Yes, I think that's it exactly is. What it's
and
now.
Then you also think Michael Palin's a lot better off than my dad, I would imagine. And so, you know, I hope he lives another 20 or so.
Can I
years.
Ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you talk to me about anyone who made telly in the 90s, 2000s, I'll tell you exactly how much money they got. Exactly.
Yeah.
How much money do you reckon Palin's got? I wouldn't have a clue what they made back in the day or how much they made out of the movies.
I think, but Palin has not got divorced or done any of the other things that all the others have had to work for. So, like, Cleese has had to do all this extra work to pay off all his 10 wives, whatever he's got. And Palin has done all the extra work but not have to pay anyone off. So, hasn't he just bought his whole street? Doesn't he just buy his own street? He had a house and then he bought the houses around the house. So, I think he owns quite a lot of North London somewhere. So that's,
the trouble is with a lot of that gang. Is they've got these beautiful big houses up in Hampstead.
Yeah.
They bought them in the 60s when you could, you know, people could buy houses. But that's not really a good indication of how much money they have. But he must be doing all right. He's got the book money.
Yeah, he is. I mean, no offense to you, Richard, as being the you're not the next, because there was Ashlyn B after directly after him who coped very well with following on from. But he has excelled in every single thing he's done, Michael Palin. He's sort of done six or seven careers and got to the top of all those careers. So he's a successful actor, a successful comedian, writer, novelist,
and
travel journalist.
And he's about to fuck your mum.
Yeah, he's going to have a crack on her. Has he been on, but has he got a pointless trophy? Has he ever been on Pointless Celebrities, Michael Palin?
He has. No. Funnily enough, he's never made himself available to the selectors for some reason. What do you reckon? He's got 20 million?
I don't have a very good idea of how much money people have, and I look at my own career and think I haven't really done all that well, and I've got quite a lot of money, so that he must have million.
And I'm sure he uses it wisely and gives a lot of it away and what have you, if you can tell, right?
Yeah. I don't know. He deserves as much money as possible.
You reckon he doesn't? You reckon he doesn't give any money to charity?
I think he keeps it. He's got this very nice, you know,
image.
He's
all of it.
But it just goes, no, I'm having it. A, he's from Yorkshire, as am I. And so, you know, he'll be a bit canny with it. And B, why not? Why not? Just, you know, he's earned it. Let him have it. He's had to go and do the dead parrot sketch again in the O2.
Yeah.
They must, you know, that O2 gig, they did something like 15 nights at the O2.
Oh, and yeah, that's big money.
It cost a bit. They put on a good show. It was a very good show. And there was high production values. But, you know, you're taking £500,000 a night.
They're getting a million each for that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, you know.
So he's sleeping on a bed of money, you reckon, Payne?
I think he's doing all right. But I bet you in 1985, he probably didn't have very much money.
Okay.
But I think probably everything he's done since then. I think probably, you know. Because the BBC never used to pay very much, and I'm sure they didn't get much for Monty Python, and they were always struggling for, like, George Harrison had to bail out Life of Brian and stuff. So you'd think if they had, they'd only needed $3 million or something for that, so they obviously didn't have the money themselves or weren't prepared. Palin was keeping it.
Yeah.
He was holding it back.
Of course.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry, and some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs. UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Talking of London,
yeah.
I had a good quiz question the other day. I did a Zoom quiz.
Yeah.
With a great and so this question was Nisha Party, who's a film producer and very talented one. This is her quiz, so it's her question.
Okay.
I'll say it now because it's one you have to think about, and I'll give the answer at the end of the at the end of this. And it's what is the only London tube station that has a Z in its name?
Ooh.
Now, just let people at home know. Mind you can probably see the. Can you see the comments?
I can see the comments, so someone might come up with it. King's Cross, as someone has said, is the first answer with a Z in it. With a Z. Something like Crozier's. Crozier's there or not a Crozier one? Collier's Wood.
I'll say this, I didn't get it. I was fuming when I didn't get it. I thought there was like a Furze Hill or something out the end of the central line.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get it. I've said Crozier. Someone said Crozier. Oh, someone's got it in the chat room.
That's very good. Well done.
Yeah, very good. Because it's quite obvious. I mean, it's not obvious, but it's quite a bit. It's not a big one, but it's central.
It's a big one. But I'll say at the end if people are not looking at the.
Do that. Well, you've been doing quite a few quiz shows on your. I know we talked to you quite recently in Edinburgh. But we didn't talk about you were on Catchphrase. We didn't really talk about that, did we? When I last. You did an amazing job on Catchphrase.
Love that. I made the most money anyone's ever made on Catchphrase.
Yeah.
Whatever else I do on telly in my whole career, that's it. I love Catchphrase. And I went on, and I was terrified. I made more money on Catchphrase than I made on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That's how well I did on Catchphrase.
Yeah.
It's great fun, though. I was on with Greg Wallace and Penny Lancaster, and I thought for a while, right at the beginning, so it's Greg and Penny, who've both been on Strictly, and Stephen Mulhern, who's very, very good, said, these two have got something in common. Can you guess what it is? And they both did like a hip movement. I said, they've both been married to Rod Stewart. But it wasn't. They'd both been on Strictly. The first couple of Catchphrases when they came up, I thought, Wallace might not be bad at this. You know, he had a bit of skill.
Yeah.
So I was quite fast on the buzzer. And then you realise quite quickly, if you've watched Catchphrase all your life, which of course I have, you have a set of skills which are going to carry you through to the end game. And then you slightly have to take your foot off the pedal. they don't really like it if you keep buzzing and say, Stitch in Time says 9. You know, every cloud has a silver lining. You're not allowed to. They don't like it.
No.
So I took my foot off the pedal, but only when I realised that maybe Wallace didn't have the chops that I thought maybe he had. But if you've watched that show all your life, you know what they're hinting at.
Yeah.
You know what Mr. Chips is doing. That's what I'm saying. You know what he's up to. You say what you see.
You do.
I won 56 grand and I won money. It was amazing. I went all the way up their pyramid at the end. I was just shaking. You know?
And you took that home. That was just for you. That money was all for you. You took all that money home, spent it on.
To be fair, I took 48,000 of it. I gave the other ex to the other eight to an ex-wife. I don't have any ex-wife. No, I gave it to charity.
That's good. And Millionaire, you did the Jeremy Clarkson Millionaire. I haven't seen any of the Jeremy Clarkson's Millionaires except I saw a bit of your one.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. And I thought, I've got up to the 32 and you can set your floor.
Yeah.
So I did. And I talked to my charity, this charity Child Title, it was brilliant, but I did Catchphrase for it as well. I said, if I get to 32, do I have permission to just absolutely go for it? And she said, yeah, of course you did. So I did. I thought I'm going to, and at 125, I got one wrong.
Oh.
But I was really, didn't even use my phone a friend. I was really focused on getting right to the end. But what can you do?
What's the best celebrity? Who was it? Actually, no one's ever won the million.
Well, John Barnes was on with me, and he was on £8,000 question, and he had a question about the ranking of poker hands.
Right.
And you could see he sort of knew, but he wasn't. It's one of those questions that I'm going to ask the audience.
Yeah.
And the audience got the wrong answer.
Okay.
And he went with them. He got knocked out because the audience gave him the wrong answer.
Do you think I've always thought I have got a lot of strategies for quiz games. on that, ask the audience if it's a high one that people don't know, and if you know it's not one of the answers, I would say to the audience, before you vote on this, if you don't know the answer, can you please vote for A? Do you do that?
Yeah, because I said to the producer, does anyone say to the audience, do not touch the button at all if you don't know this? And they go, no, no one does it. I said, but can you? He goes, yeah. So
you just say don't vote if you don't know, because that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real. I thought, well, why wouldn't you do that?
Did you see the quiz, the millionaire drama about
that? Yeah, I loved it.
See, I thought was interesting about that, I thought more than what they did or didn't do, that they did, was the fact that the guys were cheating the phone calls in, you know, that they were coaching people and doing that whole network of people getting onto the show and getting onto the show multiple times, which you'd even at the time think, they must be ringing up a lot and blah, blah, blah. But that whole thing was rigged. I remember trying to get on
the internet. That was a bad thing. That's why, if you have a show where your contestants are a bit randomly, it's quite hard because you do end up, which is what Millionaire did, with a series of sort of very faceless and a 50-year-old. I mean, it's just what you get because they're the ones who are willing to put the time in. And, I think it was a real problem for them. But I thought one of the old Pointless producers was the AP, the associate producer on that episode of that show.
Yeah.
So she told us the whole story. And she's the one who overheard the Ingrams talking, rowing afterwards, all this kind of stuff. I loved it.
I used to do a poker chat show, so I'd have liked the poker question from that John Barnes got wrong, and they were two of my, because after they were on Millionaire, they sort of tried to make money in lots of different ways, so I think they sort of claimed they played poker, or they played poker for a bit, or he did. But he was, there's something very sexy about her cold detachment that they got very well on the program, I have to say. But she's right up my street, and she's got a nice big nose, and I like that in a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like something to hang on to, innit? That's the way I look at it.
I suppose so.
I think there's something about a strong face.
It's tough. It must be tough for you now we're all wearing face masks.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, I quite like it. Sort of coquettish. You sort of think, ooh.
What have
I got home with today? No, I'm married. It's fine.
You must hang around outside shops as women just take their face masks off and just must be thrilled.
Sometimes thrilled, sometimes disappointed. That's the beauty of of clothing. But he was a very strange man. He lost some toes in accident, didn't he? Or some sort of lawnmower accident.
We did a show on Channel 4 called The Games, which was celebrities playing sports. And it was a really good show. But he came on that, and she was there a lot as well. She was rather likeable. He was very likeable, I have to say. That was one of their posts. Because, listen, obviously they cheated and that, you know. But if you're the one thing with quiz that was never said, it wasn't even said in court, is Celador, the production company, wants someone to win a million quid.
Yeah.
You know, their algorithm says we can afford to give away a million quid once every two series. You know, and when we do, our revenue goes crazy because everybody rings in the next day.
Sure.
So it's not like we've lost a million quid. It's like we've just had a massive hit show and loads of people are now applying for it again. And it's given it, so it's a good thing for them to have this million quid given away. But I don't think they brought that point up in court, which I would have done.
but they should have given. I mean, would those guys have got anything? They won't have got anything from the dramatisation, will they, even of their lives? Unless they...
No.
So it's. I feel a little bit sorry for them, because also, it's like, you're doing, am I allowed to do this? It's finding, what was interesting, I think, they just found ways to nudge things into their favour, and it's almost like, oh, this is just a game, we're just having fun. I mean, it would have been crazy if they'd been sent to prison, I think, for it.
I agree. And listen, I know they protest their innocence and what have you, this is just my point of view, that I agree with the court ruling that found them guilty. But, I sort of think there's nothing in the rules explicitly to say don't cough and don't cheat. So I sort of think it's kind of a caper, right, more than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, because there really isn't a victim, because actually the production company would have made money out of it. They would have made money out of it. It's not just no one loses, everybody wins.
Yeah.
So you sort of feel, that's why people love the drama so much, because you could tell if someone it was good on right or wrong. There's also no one harmed here, even if it was wrong. That's okay as well.
Yeah. what was interesting is, and the bit that where he said an answer he thought it was, and the audience went, ooh, it was like an easy one about Coronation Street or something that everyone would know, and he didn't know. I can't remember what it was, but they went, ooh, so he knew he'd got it wrong, and he made that point in court. But that must, you know, a lot of people must have had that help from the audience anyway. Could you hear the audience when you were in the hot seat, or are they a bit hotter on this?
No, no, not at all. But you get it on Pointless. But that's why you always take a first answer on Pointless. Because Millionaire, you don't take a first answer, because the whole point of Millionaire is the drama is in the choice.
Yeah.
And so that's all that show is am I going to go for this? Am I not going to go for it? Am I going to change my mind? That's what that show is. Whereas most quiz shows, first answer is the only one you get. So on Pointless all the time, someone will say, oh, I think it's Ghana. And the audience go, oh. And they know. They instantly know they've... Yeah. They don't know why they've got it wrong, but they know they've got it wrong.
Yes.
But they can't change their mind.
Do you think they'd ever do a quiz about Pointless? Because I've noticed on Pointless sometimes on the Celebrity Edition, one of the other celebrities will whisper the answer to one of the other celebrities. I've not done it because I'm very fair and truthful, but I've heard people whispering the answers and they get... You tell them off. But do you think there'll ever be a big scandal about that and they make a quiz about that?
Oh, God, it's non-stop most of the time. You just say, I can't remember who it was. It was like Sonia or something. It might not have been Sonia, so if it's not Sonia, don't sue Sonia. But it was someone like you. Sonia says, oh, sorry, I did say no conferring. So you just went, we're not conferring, we're just discussing the answer. Yeah, I thought that's pretty brave. I remember someone... We had a golf question, and I can't remember who it was. Someone said, I know nothing at all about golf. I know nothing about golf. So you're like, okay, well, we're going to need something. And almost always you can hear, because they're mic'd up, so you hear it. Yeah. And I didn't hear. She said, oh, I just thought of someone. Bill Nicholson. And I said, can I just say one thing? Firstly, if you know nothing about golf, then it's an unusual answer. But secondly, Phil Mickelson is exactly the answer that someone would give if someone else had just whispered Phil Mickelson, which is the correct answer, into their ear. I mean, come on. Come now. So if that had been Major Ingram, I'd have taken him to court.
Yeah. Because the Pointless Trophy is a very valuable thing. You can sell those for like 250 quid on eBay. So it's, you know.
Can you?
I think so, yeah. I believe that's what someone at the.
I should do that.
Someone at the production people told me.
Wow. Okay, I might do that.
Yeah, you've probably got.
I've got a regular one,
yeah,
and I've got a 1,000th episode one as well, like a special 1,000th episode. Xander,
yeah,
doesn't have his 1,000th episode Pointless Trophy anymore. Okay, you know why? Do you know who has Xander's 1,000th Pointless Trophy?
Ben Miller.
Mm-hmm. Almost bigger than Ben Miller.
Elton John.
Bigger than Elton. So I said it's what? Bigger than Palin.
Right.
Xander's 1,000th Pointless Trophy, the Queen owns it. Can you believe that? What a suck up he is.
She's Xander already got loads of stuff. Don't give her that.
I know, exactly. But they did he went up to do the Women's Institute in Sandringham, right? Booked him to come and do a talk. Right, and that's the Queen's Women's Institute. So he turns up there, and whenever me and Xander do stuff, we play a game of Pointless. So he's up there. I wasn't there, by the way, not invited. so he plays a thing of Pointless where it's this half of the room versus this half of the room. And then you need two team captains, so Marjorie is this team captain. Team captain over here. Queen puts her hand up. So the Queen is the team captain over here. And so they play this game of Pointless. We do our higher or lower thing.
Yeah.
So how many people say, you know, this? Was it higher or lower? And the Queen absolutely rinsed everyone. But Xander was saying, you know, he goes, we asked 100 people to name a Harrison Ford movie. How many people said Raiders of the Lost Ark? And, you know, the team over there would say all 50. And then the Queen's team has to go higher or lower. And the Queen's team would always go, oh, we think higher. And the Queen would just go, no, lower. And she'd win every time. She's like a demon. So her team won. And as the captain, the prize was Xander's Pointless 1,000 episode trophy.
That'll be worth a bit if you put that on eBay. If the Queen puts that on eBay and signs it, that's going to be worth 300 or 400 quid. That one.
She signs it. Yeah, it's possible.
I've got a Richard Osman doll that I'm just storing away until either you die or I'm about to die. That I could put on eBay, and I reckon I'd probably get 30 quid for that. So
I've got one. The only House of Games stuff I've got.
Yeah.
I've got the doll.
Yeah.
And I've got, which wasn't a prize, but we all got given one when we were filming. House of Games Easter egg. Okay, but it's really lovely House of Games Easter egg. And Tamara, who's the producer, who you've met, who's just brilliant.
Yeah.
She said, "Oh, whatever you do, don't eat it." Okay. Thank you, Tamara. But I still got it. I've got it on my lap in the kitchen.
That's very good. Well, nice. Hopefully, you know, you'll pass on, and I can make some money from.
Oh. Fingers crossed. Yeah. That'd be nice.
Good, you could eBay something. A lot of these people in the chat room would go crazy for that. I bet. Who would give me 500 quid for my... It's a golden one of Rich Osmond as well. There can't be many of those. And I'll chuck in one of my two trophies.
Also, it looks like either it could be me, it could be Gok Wan, it could be Super.
Yeah.
It's multi-purpose.
I'll just wait for the first one of you to die and then I'll sell it on eBay as a tribute to you. Be nice. 500.
I wonder who it will be. It's interesting that it will be one of us.
Yeah.
Right? Sue Perkins, I've got one of us will go first.
Yeah.
I would guess me. I think they're both lead healthier lifestyles than me.
Probably. My guess is you should do that as a death day podcast. You could do predicting and then the scores are collated at a later date.
When they actually, yeah.
I actually quite like it when two celebrities die on the same day and they're sort of there forever connected in time by, you know, they might have met at some point in their life, but they're basically unconnected celebrities and they die on the same day. I always think that's quite interesting that they're both on the news at the same night and they're connected.
I mean, less interesting for them, I guess.
Yeah. Who would you like to die on the same day as you? If you could choose any one person to die on the same day as you, who's a celebrity? It's a good emergency question.
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Maybe hire Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil.
Okay.
I was trying to think of someone nasty.
That's good, yeah. But, you know, you might live for a long time, so you're in a way conferring, if you're going to live another 50 years, they will live for another 50 years, so it might not be the thing.
If that pact is made, if I took my own life, he would go with me.
Yeah.
So I guess Bill Gates.
Okay.
Yes, if Bill Gates knows he's going to die on the same day as you, and you could literally, whenever you want to pick up the phone, saying, "I'm feeling a bit down, Bill," and he'd like send you £1 billion to say, "No, come on, man, perk up."
That could work.
Yeah.
Your book's coming out pretty soon. I'm very excited about your book, and you've got a fantastic newsletter that you send out to people who are interested in your book with games and stuff involved in it. Is that right?
The book is out in September for the Thursday Murder Club, and it's a crime novel. And Penguin, who are my publishers, who are absolutely lovely, they said, "You do a newsletter that tell people about the book." I said, "Honestly, I'll tell people about the book. And if you like the sound of it, and it's a really good murder book with a gang who solves tries to solve murders." So I said, "Well, I'll just do a weekly newsletter. You can have it branded, but I'll just do, while lockdown is on, I'll do this weekly newsletter with 50 questions a week." And it's great. And so everyone plays the quizzes, and that's really nice. But yeah, I get to do an advert for the book every week.
Yeah.
But it's only a really tiny one. And I will say to my publisher, "Look, I'll put it in there. It's there, and there's a buy, but you can pre-order it and all that kind of stuff." But yeah, essentially it's become a quiz. So every week, started with the letter A, then B, 50 questions, and all the answers begin A or begin B. And I've just finished G, which comes out tomorrow. The link is in my bio on Twitter if people want to sign up for it. It says the Thursday Murder Club newsletter, don't panic. There's not a lot about the book in there, I promise. Although you will like the book. But it's mainly a quiz.
I'm very much looking forward to the book. It feels like it's been a long time. Like this has been, you know, it's good you're getting all this pre-publicity. It's a very clever way of doing it, but it feels like you, because we talked about it in Edinburgh last year, so it's been a while.
This is how books work, I think. It was probably finished in kind of November. But it takes them a long, you know, they do proofs and they send a certain group of people in more proofs and this, that, or the other with books. And, you know, it just takes a long time. But I do have to say to them sometimes, "Look, I can't keep doing publicity for it because everyone quite rightly is saying it's not out for 3 months." Yeah, I know. So maybe with a few weeks to go, I'll pick it up again and do it, because I'm ever so proud of it. But I don't want people to get bored of me talking about it.
And you're not doing the audiobook yourself?
No, I've got Leslie Manville doing the audiobook, just one of my favourite actors in the world. And, you know, Mama, which I think is amazing, and Oscar nominated and all that. So I'm absolutely thrilled, because the main narrator of the book is a sort of 78-year-old woman. So it wouldn't have been right for me to do that.
Okay.
Maybe your mum would have been
good. My mum would have been good. I think you could have pulled it off.
I don't know so much. She's amazing. I heard some of it the other day. It's incredible.
Oh, good. Well, I've got an emergency question. Michael Palin answered this one really well. No pressure. But okay. If you could have, obviously, like...
Audio, how much money have you got?
I bet you've got more than Michael Palin. Audiobooks are obviously quite a recent thing. Is there any historical or, you know, not, it doesn't have to be even that long ago, an author you would like to hear read their own book that we can no longer have that, presumably, because they're dead?
Oh, read their own book? Yeah. That's interesting. I thought you were going to say, is there any old book you'd like to hear on audiobook? And I was going to break it to you that they do them.
Yeah.
But you can listen to Dickens.
I've got some.
I would say, funny enough, we talked about Strangers on the Train earlier when you ask somebody to murder your father.
Yeah.
When I was writing, I was listening to all the Ripley books written by Patricia Highsmith, which are such brilliant books, but she was such a curmudgeon and so dark. And so, you know, I would love to hear her telling of those stories. Okay. I would love to hear the bits where she was delighted. I suspect they'd be the opposite of the bits where the reader is delighted. And I'd love to hear the bits where she's horrified, because they'd be the opposite as well. Because she's such an incredible writer, and those books are all brilliant. I'd love to have her voice in my head. You'd have to wash your ears out afterwards, I think.
Cool. Well, we're coming up to the end of the hour. I'll ask you a couple. Oh, I should say you made a guest appearance on my upcoming Radio 4 sitcom Relativity, in which you played yourself.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Amongst all the...
Do I? Of course I do. I could barely get through it for laughing. Mine wasn't a comic role. I was very much the straight man.
You were very much Richard Osman dealing with my mum.
Yeah.
Yes, which is...
Not for the first time.
Not for the first time. So do look out for that. I think it's out in July, though. They might bring it forward to help the nation through this difficult time.
Oh, that's nice. Morale.
What the nation are waiting for. Yeah. And I was great. You did the I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue tour shows. You've presumably done some of the radio shows of that as well. But that was, unfortunately, we lost Tim Brooke Taylor a couple of months ago.
Because we did that in January.
Yeah.
It was me and Tim, Miles Jupp and Tony Hawks, and Jack D and a few other people. And yes, I was sitting next to Tim every night in these lovely big halls. And then afterwards, as you know, with any four shows, everyone goes back for a drink afterwards. Tim always makes sure that Tim has his white wine, and his lovely wife, Christine, was there every night as well. And it was such a joy to be with him. And it almost impossible to think of someone that had less life force. I mean, he was so present and so sort of so funny and so witty and charming. And we had such a laugh. And so that was a terrible shock. A really terrible shock. I mean, really, talk about taking before your time. Goodness me.
Yeah, well, that's the sort of thing about this virus is everyone's like, oh, it's old people and people who are ill already. But actually, you know, a lot of old people still have a lot of time left. And also, it's not even true.
This is a guy whose time it was not.
Yeah.
That is for sure. And the virus took him away. And, you know, I think about him often, and friends, parents who've died, and you think, whatever you think about it, you might be cleverer than the rest of us, I don't know, whatever you think about the science, you know, whatever you've read, it's a big call to make if you're going to go out there and not have a face mask and not be careful and not wear gloves and all that stuff. That's a big call to get wrong.
Yeah.
It really is, you know. And sure, if you're young, you're not going to be ill. I get it, 100%. But you know what? You'll meet somebody who'll meet somebody who'll meet somebody, and then somebody dies. You say, come on, let's just not.
Yeah, okay.
That's my view.
It's a good view. It's a correct view. And on a more positive virus note, you've been... More positive than that.
What, more positive than that? Okay, all right, listen. It is all right.
You are now the unit of social distance, because you are... The problem is, I think most people don't necessarily know quite how... You know, you can say it's one Richard Osman. You've got to be one Richard Osman apart. Mm. But that might be hard to visualise.
This is the problem. Because people say, I always say to my mum, it's one Richard Osman apart. And it's fine, because I'm 2 metres, so it's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what 2 metres is, you think, well, I'm one Richard Osman apart. But then you think, if you don't know what 2 metres is, you don't know how tall I am either. If I'm there, I get it.
And if you've got to lie down as well, presumably. for it to work. So it's really, yeah, I have to be able to imagine you prone.
I was in the queue for M&S in Chiswick the other day. Don't judge me. And it was 5 o'clock, and there's a guy in front of me in the queue. So we're outside the queue to get in. I had what I would say, I don't know if it's the time of day, a perfect shadow from behind me, right? Like a perfect shadow.
Yeah.
And I could see, and my head literally just reached the guy in front of his feet. And I thought, I mean, that's nicely done. I mean, that really, I am genuinely there. I'm genuinely a Richard Osman apart from the man in front of me.
That's good.
You know, but that service is not available.
No.
To most people. I accept that.
Does it mean that you are safe walking along because you are 2 meters above the ground? I presume the virus has to crawl along the ground to get from person to person. So that's my understanding.
Yeah, the ground virus I'm safer from.
Yeah.
That is for absolutely sure. I'll give you that. But also, your height is also your wingspan, right?
Yeah.
But almost everybody.
Yes.
You stretch your arms from there to there. Apparently, that's your height.
Okay.
And so I walk through Chiswick like that, like an aeroplane. I don't actually, but I'm going to because I just thought of it.
It's a good idea. And I've been finding it difficult to get hold of Soleros because I'm in the countryside, and I usually eat a Solero a day. That's my treat.
Mm.
You've been making smoothies out of Soleros, I understand.
Hey, I am not kidding you. Because so, I got three because there's a delivery place that did them. And no, I have normally have a smoothie. I put some raspberries, a bit of yogurt or something, whatever you fancy. Some rubbishy old powder I buy from Holland and Barrett that does nothing, I'm sure. But you know, you can't have too much spirulina. But yeah, so I just thought, hold on a minute. This Solero has got kind of sorbet, it's got yogurt, it's got all this stuff. So raspberries, Solero, exotic fruits, Solero, a little bit of water. Oh my days. Nah. It was sensational.
I don't approve of wasting a Solero. I can't get Soleros out here.
It was so good. Honestly, once you really go for Soleros out in Oxfordshire.
I go to Waitrose. I've got to go to Waitrose in Hitchin, though, so I'm trying to avoid. Now I've managed to almost become... I think I might go tomorrow, because the only thing I can't get is Soleros. And I honestly, last year, I ate a Solero every day last year, and I lost loads of weight because it was my treat in the day. And now I have 5 or 6 treats that aren't Soleros. And so I'm going to go and buy all the Soleros in Waitrose tomorrow.
But do that. Put them in with a punnet of raspberries.
Yeah.
And then that's one of your 5 a day as well. And you drink it, and it's honestly terrific.
Okay.
It's really good.
I'll give it a go. I'll buy some extras. My kids have got into them. I get them like fruit pastel lollies and kids lollies. And then my daughter goes, can I have one of daddy's lollies? They're mine, the Soleros. And my daughter started saying, can I have one of daddy's lollies? And then, so they go, there's only 3 in a pack, that's 3 days, but if the kids have them, that's one day, one box of Soleros is a day.
I know what to do.
What?
Got my advice?
Yeah.
Suddenly say your favourite lolly is a Twister. Kids love Twisters. Because that's white and green and red.
We've got those.
And so, can I have one of daddy's lollies? There you go, one of daddy's Twisters.
They don't.
I just wrote about Twisters. In the new novel, that's the kind of stuff you're getting.
Okay, good. Well, we'll look out for the new novel.
Literally just wrote about that.
Are you doing any more of your birthday game podcast? That was really good. I enjoyed
that. It was fun, wasn't it? I really enjoyed doing it. But, you know, then TV got in the way. And again, I'm not someone in lockdown thinking, how do I get through the day? Because I get through the day so easily. Like embarrassingly easily. Sometimes I wonder how, I mean, literally, I think, okay. Another day done. So I don't think so, but maybe when we come out the other side of this, I might do a few. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you so much for sparing us your time. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Something as small as a virus can't take you down. You're so big. Just look at it logically. You're so much bigger than a virus that...
Of course.
They would need to get together. There'd have to be so many of them to take you on. I mean, how many viruses equal one Richard Osman? It's got to be a lot.
I mean, it must be 20 or 30, mustn't it?
At least. So I think you'll be okay.
At least.
Good luck with having sex in lockdown. That's what I'd like to say to you.
Thank you.
In fact, married people for the last 2 months have had more sex than single people on average. It's very small amount more.
Yep.
So I'm glad I got
God
married.
God bless you, one and all.
Thanks so much for doing this, Richard. We'll be back next week with another one of these. I don't know who the guest next week is yet. Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Osman, thank you very much. See you soon.
Thank you.
I'm stone clearing in the morning. Goodbye. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahala Stopper with me, Rich Herring, and my guest, Richard Osman. And me, Ali. Shut up, Ali. You're not in this bit. Thank you to Pest for playing the music. They're shit. They're not. It's a good song. Thank you also, of course, to Chris Evans, not that one, for providing fantastic support. Thank you to Twitch, Ian Twitch, and everyone who subscribed using their Amazon Prime membership and their actual money. I'm indebted to my executive producer, Stephen Badger Isaac. We called him Tadger on set because he insisted on being called Badger. We called him Isaac Stephen sometimes as a funny joke. We're very good. Thank you for listening. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Hello, it's me, Ali, just reminding you, do tune in to see Ali and Herring's Twitch chat done on twitch.tv/RKHerring. Shouldn't that be twitch.tv/AliSlotha? No, it shouldn't. You can follow me on Twitter, Slotha_Ali. And also, why not watch Richard Herring do his shitstings without me in on twitch.tv/RKHerring. Thanks for listening, everyone. Gagai! Gagai! Gagai!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.